ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Presented by Zadok Jewelers. KFNC and KFNC HD2. Mont Bellevue, Houston.
Vasquez, beaten away by Buffon. And then Ronaldo! What a goal by Cristiano Ronaldo!
Messi to the near post!
Ramel Kiyoko now. Here's a Honduran. He'll whip it in back to the far post. Elise! Albert Elise! La Punta Rica! It's a Honduran connection!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, Jermaine and Fred, yeah, you're absolutely right. Let's start with this quote tonight from Lionel Messi, who breaks a record here in big fashion. He says, quote, "When I started playing football, I never thought I would break a record, and even less the one that I achieved today, Pelé's. I can only thank everyone who helped me over the years, my teammates, my family, my friends, and everyone who supports me. Hug." That was from Lionel Messi only minutes ago, who broke Pelé's record, one club scoring record, 644 goals with Barcelona. Pelé had 643 with Santos in Brazil. So a monumental day. You know, it's great when the Blitz is picking up on that. That's being on top of it, and I love that. And that's what I like about the guys who lead us in here. You know, Fred, AJ, and today, Jermaine. So thanks to those guys for that. Okay, a couple things here. Happy holidays first. Let's start it off with that. We got to be positive. It's a good time to be positive, good time to be around family. It's a great time period. We welcome you in tonight. Now, producing tonight, in for the Mercurial, Aaron Raybould, who just did a bang-up job for the Blitz, is our good man, Trey. So now I'm thinking tonight, our listenership, it's going to blow up and go through the roof in Baytown and Beaumont tonight, because I know Trey is very popular there. What's up, Baytown? What's up, Beaumont? And Juggalo Trey, tell me, why are you so popular down in Beaumont and Baytown?
I don't know. I guess I just have a relatable aura for some of those people over there. They know I'm kind of one of them. So I don't know. They've accepted me, and it's been really great to know all those people from Beaumont. And yeah, it's been awesome.
You were down there with a traveling show, right? And everybody, you had some great connections down there. Not wonderful.
Yeah, I was down there at the West last week, and it was quite the experience.
All right. Now, remind me, isn't the Juggalo thing, is that something to do with that crazy band Insane Clown Posse, which, by the way, gives me nightmares?
It is, but I'll make it vehemently clear. I am not a Juggalo, so no worries there. But yeah. That's what they said. I was weird, sort of like a Juggalo is weird, and it just kind of stuck ever since.
Nah, it's
then.
Cool. It's all good. You're a great young man. I got to tell you too, for my listeners, when I met Trey, I'm blown away with his music knowledge, and we'll tap a little bit into that with Trey here tonight. Okay. So a couple of things we got going on, and Trey, thank you very much for stepping in, for Aaron Raybould, who gets a well-deserved rest. Thank you for doing that. All right,
anytime.
So a couple things. We're streaming on ESPN975.com, 713-780-3776. Hit me up tonight. Now, there is a monumental game tonight for Major League Soccer. You may not think so. Are you interested in this tonight? Because the winner of this game between Tigres and LAFC will go to the World, it's a FIFA Club World Cup, which will be played in Qatar. Now, I know you elitists out there are right now going, oh, it's a tournament nobody cares about. No, it is a tournament that a lot of people care about, especially MLS teams and Liga MX teams, because they have the opportunity to go there and then get placed in matches against teams like Liverpool, the European champions, and things like that. It is a huge moment. It's a moneymaker as well. So tonight, Major League Soccer, which in the modern CONCACAF Champions League has never won it, we've always been beaten down by Mexican clubs. I'm tired of being beaten down by Mexican clubs. I think MLS fans are tired of it. So tonight, all of Major League Soccer, I believe, is pulling for LAFC. Because what's good for LAFC tonight when it comes to winning, is good for the entire league. It shines the light on the league. It's another one of these moments. It won't be quite like when David Beckham arrived, but it is an opportunity where you get some world attention. And this will happen in front of no fans. This will happen in Orlando tonight at Exploria Stadium. It comes on after this game tonight. We're going to have a tremendous focus on this game tonight, and we're going to want your calls on this at 713-780-3776. Who wins tonight, Tigres or LAFC? Does this mean a lot to Major League Soccer, despite the COVID, everything going on with COVID? What does it mean to MLS? And what does it mean to Tigres? Because quite frankly, they are taking it seriously, and you know they are. And Tuca Ferretti wants to get to the FIFA Club World Cup. There's no question. Tigres wants to get there. They've been denied a bunch of times. The last three opportunities for Major League Soccer came with RSL in 2011 against Monterrey. I think it was 2015 with the Montreal Impact. And then in 2018, we thought we were there with Toronto FC. It hasn't happened. And one of the ways to get respect is to just win the thing. You got to start winning it. And you got to start winning it consistently. And it may happen tonight. And I got a real funny feeling, a good sense, that LAFC is going to win this thing. And if you don't agree with me, tell me why. 713-780-3776. And the obvious is you're going to tell me that Tigres has better players. 713-780-3776. I see LAFC right now. Historic win over Club America. Before that, they beat Cruz Azul. And before that, they beat León. This would be a four straight Mexican team that they would beat. They're killing Liga MX teams. They're beating them. You can say whatever you want. It's how you also gain fans from Mexico, is you win. You beat them. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in tonight. 713-780-3776. We'll have Tom Marshall on the show tonight at Mexico World Cup down in Mexico City. John Arnold covers CONCACAF. We'll talk to him about that crazy game with Miguel Herrera getting sent off. He's ultimately been fired. That was the most bizarre. So let me ask you a question tonight. So if Bob Bradley tonight gets ejected or Tuca Ferretti gets a red card tonight and sent off, are they going to be handed a walkie-talkie and allowed to coach their team from the stands? That's what I'd like to know. 713-780-3776. And then, of course, you don't have VAR, which is also tantamount to suicide, by the way. Because when players know they don't have VAR, they're going to push the envelope when it comes to rules simulation. And we saw it. We saw Memo Ochoa, who I love as a goalkeeper. Sad that he did what he did. And some people will call what he did gamesmanship. Grabbed his face, never got hit, went down. Atuesta's off. He doesn't play tonight. He didn't deserve to be off. And in fact, had drawn a penalty prior to that. So the best LAFC midfielder is not playing tonight. Now, the other thing we have heard is that also Gignac and then the very, very, very talented, and believe me, very talented, Javier Aquino, both were doubtful for tonight. I don't see that. I'm seeing for sure these guys are going to show tonight. Now, this is a middle third game tonight for me. It's a midfield that is stacked for Tigres. Pizarro, Carioca, Aquino, and Luis Quiñones, who basically ripped apart New York City FC on his own. He had three assists, I think, in that game. Just ripped them apart. He's going to be a huge challenge tonight. And LAFC is going to truly have to handle Luis Quiñones. And look, they've got solid seasoned backs. Dueñas, Salcedo, Ayala, in front of a very good goalkeeper. And Nahuel Guzman, who's experienced and an Argentine. You know, he looks about 6'2", 6'3", in goal, big guy. We'll see. We'll see how this is going to be handled. But Quiñones is going to be a big problem, I think, for LAFC. They're certainly going to have to deal with him on that side of the field because he brings them width. He brings them depth. He brings them separation. all these things. Both these teams are winning. LAFC's, I think, won three in a row. I think Tigres has won four in a row coming into this. And this is one for the ages tonight. I'm super excited about this. So we'll have that conversation as well. By the way, the two guys that I think will have a lot to do with dealing with Quiñones is the left back for LA, Palacios, and Cifuentes on that side of the field. They're generally a lot of the time on the same side of the field as Diego Rossi. But Atuesta is going to be a miss. Is it Latif Blessing? Latif Blessing has been wonderful off the bench. You know, he's one of those guys that goes to another team in Major League Soccer, and all of a sudden you look at him, and he's like a different player. And then you have to say maybe that has a lot to do with Bob Bradley. Francisco Ginella is another thought. Bryce Duke is another midfielder. So, you know, we'll see how Bob Bradley handles this. There was some talk about the fact that they may overturn Atuesta's thing. That's not happening. That's not happening. So there it is tonight. It's coming up right after this. You can catch it on 2 to NA, and I think FS2 will be the places to catch what is an important match. We will also have on the show tonight John Thorington. He's a general manager of LAFC. Not only are we going to talk about this match against Tigres, what it could mean to that club, obviously what it means to Major League Soccer as well. John Thornton's a very interesting guy. As a youth, went over from California and was in the youth system at Manchester United, and then had quite a long playing career, a number of different places. Never played for Manchester United, but was in their youth setup, did play in England, and then a number of years in Chicago with the Chicago Fire. This guy went back and got his, got an MBA and combined his soccer knowledge. But, you know, you think of the choices he made, hiring Bob Bradley and getting Carlos Vela signed. And, of course, you know, he had help getting these things done. But ultimately, you know, this is something he likely had to sign off on this blank canvas of putting together an expansion team. So we'll have John on tonight as well. And then really excited to present to you tonight the Fafa Pico interview, the new Dynamo signing acquired from FC Dallas. You're going to like this interview with Fafa tonight. He's talking a number of different things. Great personality. He's got the pace. He'll come from FC Dallas. And then the last thing, Houston Dynamo today picked up Joe Corona in a re-entry draft after Corona last week was picked up by Austin FC. I'll tell you a little bit about that tonight. We'll see if the Dynamo get him signed. Crossover. Talk about two very differing people singing this song. Drummer Boy and Peace on Earth, David Bowie, and the great Bing Crosby. Take a break. It's brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. See the day of glory.
SPN 97.5.
Hey, soccer fans, a moment here for our presenting sponsor, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Now, John and his firm are personal injury attorneys. They're going to bring you a personalized approach. It's DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. Now, they're bilingual. You might get in a car accident, motorcycle, industrial, construction, plant, refinery, 18-wheeler. The Daspit Law Firm has you covered and will work for you 24-7, nights and weekends. Get the representation you need at the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Proud sponsor of Soccer Matters.
I'm Dr. Andrea Russo, a cardiologist. Maybe you're waiting to talk to your doctor right now. But if you're having an irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, shortness of breath, fatigue, or lightheadedness, don't wait. This could be a serious condition like atrial fibrillation, which can make you about 5 times more likely to have a stroke. If you're having these symptoms, don't wait. Talk to a doctor by phone, online, or in person.
Brought to you by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
Newsmax TV was just rated number one, and that was Greg Kelly's new show. Now, 30 million Americans watch Newsmax for the best news on President Trump. So download the free Newsmax app on your smartphone or watch Newsmax on all major cable systems. If they don't carry Newsmax, call them and tell them you want Newsmax. Get Newsmax TV for the latest from Dick Morris, Rudy Giuliani, Michelle Malkin, Diamond and Silk, and more. Watch Newsmax TV today.
Patrick Creighton for 5 Under Golf Center, Southeast Texas' premier entertainment venue. From the outdoor double-decker Top Tracer driving range, to the full-service bar and restaurant, to the luxury Top Golf swing suites, 5 Under has you covered. Enjoy happy hour weekdays from 4 to 7 p.m. and check out their daily specials like BOGO Burger Monday, Taco Tuesday, and Thursday Steak Night. 5 Under offers the best weekend brunch featuring 99-cent mimosas. Play outdoors or play indoors in the simulator bays where you can golf, test your baseball pitching prowess, play hockey, play soccer, even zombie dodgeball. They've got great Astros game day specials too, like $13 Crawford Bach pitches. Check out the website because there's always another really cool event coming up on the calendar at 5 Under Golf Center, College Street in Beaumont, just a quarter mile north of I-10. Make your reservations today at 5undergolf.com. That's 5undergolf.com.
The wait for the holidays is over, America. It's time to make some joy. And we're here to help with the Ford Built for the Holidays sales event. We're offering the best deals of the season across the Ford lineup, so you can road trip with the whole family comfortably in a Ford Expedition. Bring home a tree that's bigger than you ever have with a built Ford Tough F-150. And find new ways to make the holidays bright this year when you visit your local Ford dealer. The joy is up to you, America, so let's get to it. Ford, built for the holidays.
Melissa from Michigan. I work an extra part-time job serving lunch at my child's school, but I still can't afford to put food on our table.
Daniel from California. Choosing whether to pay the rent or pay to fix the car to get to work doesn't leave us with much at all. Now we can't even pay for meals.
Hunger is a story we can end. End it at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hey, it's Josh. Nothing's better than mouth-watering Texas barbecue at Cypress Trail Hideout, home of the award-winning Papa Charlie's Barbecue. Enjoy happy hour daily from 11 to 2. On Tuesdays, enjoy happy hour all day. Thursdays are famous for 375 Tito's and Jack Daniels all day. Hideout on the huge patio with live music every weekend at 7 p.m. And don't forget about the beef ribs every Saturday. For more details, visit CypressTrailHideout.com.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Yes! Oh, this intercepted. Vela! In! Less than 15 seconds out of halftime. LAFC exact a bit of revenge. It's knocked into the America goal, 1-1.
Well, it had to be Carlos Vela, didn't it?
Well, you will know that man is motivated tonight. Carlos Vela was absolutely outstanding. Now let's talk about the two goals he scored at the beginning of the second half. At that time, LAFC had 10 men, but it was his leadership. He was getting kicked. He gave as much as he took. He was back defending. He was killing off the game in the final 15 minutes. Absolute incredible performance from Carlos Vela, and he's going to be very, very motivated tonight. We welcome you back. Quick word here for Advantage BMW. We're going to get Tom Marshall on the phone here as soon as we can, Trey. Just want to talk about my friends down at Advantage BMW Midtown. I've driven a BMW for years. I've leased. I bought from Advantage in Midtown. I love the drive of a BMW. It's like no other. I have an X5. I've told you many, many times about the fact that I took it 23 hours and went through the mountains, through a number of different states. One of the great runs I took, and it came at a time during COVID, actually, that you just kind of needed a road trip. Threw my dog in the back, one bag, took off, drove to New Jersey. On the way back, I did the Natchez Trace Parkway, which you pick up in Nashville. Kind of went out of the way. 450 miles through the forest. Unbelievable. History everywhere. But the other thing I love at Advantage BMW, the customer service, second to none. By the way, my car was unbelievable on that trip. Advantage BMW will cover you, sales, service, finance. It can be done so easy. Get in a 3, 5, 7 series, get an X5, Get that hometown advantage. It is AdvantageBMWHouston.com. We're talking about Advantage BMW Midtown. Go down and see Justin and Steven. Trey, how we doing with Tom Marshall, the legendary? Do we have him?
We're efforting him right now.
Okay, we're efforting him right now. So let me just, while Trey's getting Tom Marshall on the phone from Mexico, let me just remind you about Joe Corona. So the Dynamo picked him up in the reentry draft. Now, last week, Austin FC had taken him from L.A. in the expansion draft. So here's what likely went down when all the dust settles here, and I think you've seen a lot of information out there. Chris Bills had some things out in Austin. Austin FC took him with the intention of signing him, but at a valuation, at a salary that they had in their mind. They didn't get him signed. They didn't come to terms. So if they had gotten him signed, he would have pulled himself out of the reentry draft. But Joe Corona stayed in the reentry draft, and the Dynamo picked him up. Now, you remember he played a lot of Tijuana. And so now the Dynamo have the rights to him, and they're either going to sign him to a contract or he can be used in another deal. I'm not sure this is the angst-creating image that everyone had initially wanted about creating additional rivalry. You don't need additional rivalry. This is going to be natural. It's going to be organic. Austin FC is going to be the perfect pot stirrer for the Houston Dynamo and FC Dallas. They're making a lot of noise with hires, stadiums, training facilities, player signings. They're going to be sold out every match if fans are allowed back in. And it's going to be a great third team in Texas. Texas and California, the only teams, the only states that have more than two teams. So it's kind of what went down there with Joe Corona. How we doing with Tom, Trey? Still efforting Tom, I think. Okay, so I know some people have questioned me about when I say, well, we've never won the CONCACAF Champions League. We haven't. What we did win, if we go back in time, 1998, DC United, and in 2000, the LA Galaxy, it was called the Champions Cup then. The three teams that have come close in recent times, Real Salt Lake, I'm still shaking my head about that one in 2011 against Monterrey. Montreal, 2015, Toronto FC in 2018. You'll remember Greg Vanney in that tournament said, look, we're prioritizing the CONCACAF Champions League to the point where they neglected regular games in Major League Soccer. I love the idea of that, the real focus on that. The only problem is they just fell short, and then they went on to have a poor season. So now LAFC. It's on them to beat Tigres. I have a good feeling about LAFC. They win. They go to the 2021 World Cup in Qatar. LAFC is going to do the same thing that I believe that they did to Club America. And that's what most Major League Soccer teams do, or a lot of them do, and that is just marry pressure, team shape. Do not allow them to have a lot of time on the ball and get their head up and really try to break their rhythm. And a guy that can help us continue on the rhythm of talking about LAFC and Tigres, he is the great journalist, expert on Mexico coverage. He is Tom Marshall. He joins us now. Tom, how are you?
Hi, Glenn. Yeah, I'm good. Yeah, looking forward to this game coming up. I think it's, settled perfectly, really. Tigres against LAFC, André Pierre Gignac, the other. Basically, the star name in Mexican football over what the last 5 years against Carlos Vela, one of the all-time great MLS players. So, can't wait, to be honest.
Yeah, this is going to be a good one tonight. I'm ready for this one as well, and I'm glad to have you on here tonight. Let me first take it from the Tigres perspective, with your knowledge of Tuca Ferretti and Tigres and all their great success, and of course, you've been to Houston many times covering them and covering other games here. You know the connection we have to Monterrey, Mexico here. But
yes.
How much pressure is on Tuca Ferretti and Tigres to get to the FIFA Club World Cup and win this game tonight just based on the fact that they have come close and haven't gotten over the finish line?
Yes, no. I mean, it's basically all the talk ahead of the game has been about that. Tigres have been the team of the decade in Liga MX. There's absolutely no doubt about it. I think it's five titles over the last 9 years in Liga MX. But, this is now the fourth final in 5 years in the CONCACAF Champions League. I mean, you deserve a lot of praise for getting there, but obviously they've lost the last three finals. So there is a certain amount of pressure. The only thing I would say is that, you know, this is a team with an average age of over 30. You know, they've played in a lot of finals, and although there is that kind of obvious pressure, they've been there. They're not going to kind of wilt under that pressure, I don't think. But yeah, I mean, for the institution, from the Mexican side of things as well, it's almost like, you know, the rival fans, Rayados fans in up there in Nuevo León, you know, they rip, you know, they make fun of Tigres fans for never having won a continental title. And Tigres fans are obviously absolutely desperate to kind of end that. And, you know, take a trip to the Club World Cup, which, you know, does mean a lot to these Mexican clubs.
Yeah, no question about it. So Tigres has a very impressive midfield. And to your point, you know, it is an older, experienced team. So I'm looking at the names: Aquino, Carioca, Pizarro. Quiñones had a tremendous game against New York City FC. He was uncontrollable. Nobody could deal with him. How much of this game just comes down to basically who wins the middle third of the field and who wins midfield?
Yes, I mean, I think, you know, if you look over that period of Tuca Ferretti's time in charge of Tigres, you know, the team's dominating possession. You know, it's very rare that you see a Tigres team not having more than 50% of the ball, and it's often up to 60 or over. And I think the same thing for LAFC. I think Bob Bradley is one of his greatest feats there at LAFC has been that you know what you're getting with them, and they're a really attractive side. They also like to get the ball, take the game to the opposition, and so that battle of the midfield is going to be really important. And then, you know, I mean, the really exciting thing about this game is, no matter what happens, no matter who's actually winning that midfield battle, which obviously is going to give one side a better chance than the other, you've got such quality players up front. I mean, you look at Carlos Vela, and you know, I think it's like 54 goals in 70 appearances in MLS, you know, 20-something assists. You look at Gignac's record, you look at Diego Rossi, you know, the MLS top scorer. You know, you look elsewhere on Tigres, Quiñones, you know, Leo Fernandez, who, that's a designated player in MLS right there, 21, 22 years old. So, I mean, there's so much talent on the field tonight. I don't know, I'm hoping it's a good advert to CONCACAF after, you know, after that LAFC America game, which, to be honest, you know, I thought there were quite a few players on that field that didn't do themselves justice, I didn't think.
Yeah, that was a very interesting night. So, you know, we were joking around in the prior segment. If Bob Bradley or Tuca Ferretti gets sent off, who's going to hand him his microphone? His walkie-talkie tonight? You think about that literally, and you just say to yourself, what was allowed to happen in that last game in some ways sets a precedent, and it certainly hurts your credibility, I think.
Yes. I'll tell you what, Glenn, it was quite interesting, and, you know, I was quite, you know, happy to hear from Tuca Ferretti heading into this game. He basically said, look, you know, he was asked about the referee and the officiating, and I 100% agree with him. And I know this might be a very idealistic, you know, in the modern game, and, you know, with so much on the line, but he basically said, look, it's up to the players as well. It's like, the players have to set the example. And I thought that what happened with America against LAFC was, I'm not, I know a lot of people online are blaming Club America squarely, but it was happening on both sides. And for me, what happened was, there's an example of when two teams are used to having VAR, video assistant referee, week in, week out, and then all of a sudden you get games where VAR isn't in use. Then obviously the players are trying to take advantage of that, and they're trying to go back to try and trick the referee. And I thought that's exactly what happened. And he just kind of, for me, it just kind of snowballed. And there was one incident followed another incident, and it just got ridiculous. You know, I think we saw it in the quarterfinal as well. I mean, you know, Carlos Vela went down pretty easily for a penalty in the quarterfinal against Cruz Azul. And I just think, you know, I just think the players know in the back of their minds now that they might as well. You know, they might as well, because there's no VAR and they can't go back and check it. So, I don't know, but I was happy to hear Ferretti say, look, the officiating, hopefully, there's no decisions that kind of affect the result of the game. But at the end of the day, it's also up to the players to set a good example, and then the coaching staff to follow that example. So, yeah, hopefully we're talking about the football and what's happened on the field at the end of this one.
Talking to Tom Marshall, and I would agree with you 100%, and I think the fact that Tuukka Ferretti said that is important because of the stature that he has and the esteem that he holds. But if you think about CONCACAF and you think about the person who, and however we've gotten to this situation where there's no VAR, you know players are going to do that. You know they're all thinking about it. You know that both coaches know about it. So you're basically, it's tantamount to suicide to say to players now that, okay, you don't have VAR, and say, okay, behave and don't cheat. And we all know somebody's going to dive tonight. There's going to be something that's going to occur tonight. And I just taking and not having VAR, it's just you're setting yourself up for problems. And you're setting referees up for difficult nights as well, I think. All right.
Yes.
Do you want to comment on that?
No, just quickly. No, I just think that the CONCACAF region as well is really difficult.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I do think that once the tournament was held in Orlando in a stadium that uses well week in, week out, I think there should have been a kind of, it should have tried hard at that point to get VAR working for these games. But I mean, it's just, for me, when it's really difficult, CONCACAF. You've got, you know, the richest nation in the world, the United States. You've got Canada. You've got Mexico, a giant football nation. And then you've got some of the smallest islands in the world, under the FIFA umbrella. So it always seems like we're coming back to the balancing act between getting all the different interest groups, and I think that differentiates CONCACAF from, you know, CONMEBOL or even UEFA to a degree. So it is tough, but yeah, I mean, I think
I'm not sure you have to have it. I'm not sure you have to have it in the early rounds in Barbados and places like that. But I do think once you get into a specific stage of this tournament, I don't think it's hard to implement. Most of the players then at that point have had experience with it. And at that point, you have to have referees that have had experience with it. I think sometimes CONCACAF can rely upon the, you know, oh, it's so different in the country, you know, to your point, which is true. But I think it sometimes becomes a fallback position in a way that it's slightly negligent, and it doesn't advance the interests of football and the way tournaments are run in this region of the world.
Yeah, no, for sure, And, you know, I think we saw that on last weekend on Saturday. And, yeah, it was a shame because at the end of the day, it was two, you know, really, really, really big clubs in this side of the world. So, no, hopefully tonight it's, I don't know, hopefully the players are on best behavior and it doesn't spill over. But, I mean, we'll see. I wouldn't surprise me one bit if it does, though, you know.
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about the tactics tonight. I'm expecting a Bob Bradley team to be highly competitive, to be protagonists, to get do exactly what they did against Club America, and that's get tight on people, don't give people time and space to get their head up, and really try to break this great rhythm that, you know, we know Tigres is capable of with all the talent they have. What do you see?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's how LAFC play, and that's how they play against Tigres. What I would say, though, is I think if you look at Tigres' season in Liga MX, it's not been a great season. And for me, if Tigres have got a problem, it's actually the opposite. It's against teams that sit back, that sit really deep in a low block and just try and restrict the space. Tigres are better when teams are actually coming at them. So I've got a feeling that that's going to play into Tigres' hands a little bit. I thought Club America were poor. Like, I thought they were really not good. You know, I thought they defended okay in that first half, but when they got the ball, they were abysmal. You know, they played long ball football. They were pumping it up, and there's no way Tigres are going to do that. You know, Tigres are much more kind of established in the way that they want to in the way that they want to go about playing. So, I mean, this is a fascinating thing. It's going to be like an arm wrestle. Which team can kind of get hold of the ball? You know, show that composure, because at the end of the day, in the final, and both these clubs are looking for the first CONCACAF Champions League trophy. And yes, I see it like that, kind of an arm wrestle, which one is going to take advantage. But like I said before, then you've got that wild card, and you've got exceptional players. I mean, Brown on one side can flip this game. LAFC can play terribly. You know, that Carlos Vela can do some bit of magic and they'll win this game. I mean, I'm under no doubt about that at all. On the other side, you say pretty much the same about Gignac. I'd argue Gignac needs a bit more kind of support play. I think Vela can do something. We've seen some of his individual goals over the last couple of years, whereas I think Gignac does need a bit of kind of support. But But yeah, I think that's the X factor about this game. I mean, you just don't know about those individuals, how they're gonna perform.
Yeah, I agree 100% with you. So do you think there's a possibility Bradley defends in a lower block or maybe a middle third block to test that mettle of Tigres if they have watched a lot of Liga MX, which I'm sure they have?
I think you know, Bob Bradley is, you know, he said he's been watching Tigres regularly over a number of years as well. So I think it's possible. I don't think they're going to sit back in a completely low block. At the same time, I personally don't think there's any point. Tigres are a team that dominate possession, but they're not necessarily very vertical. You know, Tuca Ferretti hates his players making mistakes, and they get criticized sometimes for not with the style of play. And a lot of people in Mexico say it's defensive, which I think is complete nonsense. But they do use possession to wear down the opposition. They use possession to kind of slowly move the opposition out of position. It's not kind of, you know, it's not a vertical style where the fullbacks are charging forward. It's more like a very, very precise, you know, positional play, working the ball slowly forward. So for me, there's no point when the centre-backs are, you know, knocking it around between themselves and the goalkeeper. There's no real point pressing when Tigres are doing that. But obviously, as soon as they get into the opposition half, then, you know, I think LAFC's DNA is to go and hunt down the ball.
Do you get the sense that Javier Aquino is going to start? What do we know?
Aquino, I think we're going to find out very soon. I think Aquino is definitely a doubt. I think it's only 50-50. Aquino understands what Ferretti wants, and he's been around the club for so long, and so I think Ferretti will want him in there. Tigres they've lost a couple of players recently as well, with a couple of injuries. Julián Quiñones is out. You know, they've got rid of Eduardo Vargas, so Aquino becomes even more important. But I think that the one that everyone's looking to is André Pierre Gignac, who's also got an injury problem, a muscle issue. But I mean, if he can hop on one leg, Gignac is going to make it on Tapia tonight as a starter, because Gignac, this is the irony of it, Glenn, as well. And it does make me laugh a little bit. You know, you've got the LAFC side where you've got a Mexican captain who's the best player, and if LAFC does it, it's going to be a Mexican player lifting that title, the first MLS title in 20 years. And then on the TV side, you've got players, a French guy who's also a Mexican citizen, and he's got the Virgin of Guadalupe, you know, tattooed onto his right calf. So it's just it's a bizarre kind of way of looking at, you know, the two kind of principal protagonists in this drama that we're going to see tonight.
What do you think Gignac's future is, Tom?
What's that, Chris?
What do you think his future is?
The future?
Yeah, for Gignac, now that he's getting older.
Yeah, I mean, Gignac, I think there's a strong possibility that he stays within the Tigres organization, perhaps as a coach. I mean, this is a guy who, he's a real personality. He doesn't speak much to the media and stuff, but he's a real personality. He loves it in Mexico. I mean, this guy just, whenever anybody asks him about living in Mexico, he absolutely loves it. I think a couple of his kids have been born here. And, you know, he didn't need to get Mexican citizenship. He was like, my kids were born here. I feel like I'm a Mexican. I'm going to get my citizenship. So yeah, I can see him staying. And even, I mean, this is kind of a long shot, but there's even talk of him possibly taking over from Tuca Ferretti maybe in a few years. But yeah, it's actually, this is another interesting thing about tonight, because when Tigres won the 2019 Apertura title, Gignac said on the field after the game, he was like, next up, we've got to win the CONCACAF Champions League. He says, I'm not going to hang up my boots until we win that damn trophy. That just tells you how desperate Gignac is to win this trophy and to represent Tigres at the Club World Cup. And I think that would kind of close the cycle as, you know, what has been one of the most historic and best foreign players in Mexico's first division.
Well, what a run they have had with him, too. I mean, there is an aura about the guy when he plays. He just has an aura, and some of the spectacular things that he can do, and still at this age, successful. I love seeing a guy that's older like him that is just so successful still. His brain's on a different level than people at a lot of times in games. So when I heard the doubtful, you know, usually makes me lean towards, yeah, they're probably going to play.
Yeah. No, yeah, it'll be now, absolutely desperate.
Yeah, they I think it's inevitable that this is going to be another great storyline for this game tonight. What did you didn't say Luis Quiñones was injured, did you?
No, Luis is playing. Julian is...
Julian, he's yeah. The brother.
Yeah, he didn't make the tournament.
Okay,
so,
I almost fell over, and I was like, ooh, that would have been a big break, because he was a one-man wrecking machine against New York. I mean, against New York FC, he was spectacular. I mean, they couldn't control the guy.
No, yeah, for sure, yeah. No, and Tigres, you know, that's what they're about. I think there has been a bit of a kind of an advancement in the playing style, and I think you look at the likes of Quiñones, and I think there is slightly more directness than before, and I think that's something that Tuca's tried to implement over the last year, 18 months, and I think he still needs to do it, because there is still a sense that, you know, like I said before, if there is a team that does take back, sometimes they lack that kind of little bit of creativity, that little bit of magic that's not getting the ball to Gignac in the area, if you know what I mean. So, everywhere you look at Tigres, I mean, Carlos Salcedo, the former Mexico international, Chaka Rodriguez is Mexico's right back. Now, Juan Guzman, for me, the best goalkeeper in Liga MX, capable of a big mistake, but still, you know, a very good goalkeeper. And, you know, Carioca in midfield, Pizarro, they're a very, very good team. And, you know, if LAFC can do this tonight, I think you got to just hold up your hands and say, you know, congratulations, you're beating the best, do you know what I mean? You're beating Club America, you're beating Cruz Azul, you're beating León, and now you're beating Tigres. That's just an amazing run. And, you know, nobody ever can say anything different to that.
So then let's take it to the big question, and we'll take it even further, because we know that fans of both leagues are going to make this a verdict on which league is better. But I think a game like this just can do so much, again, for rivalry, for this region of the world, the eyeballs that are going to be on it. I mean, I can't even imagine how many TV sets are going to be turned on here in Houston with our connections to Monterrey, Mexico as well.
Yeah, for sure. No, I mean... I mean, honestly, even going on online on the social networks is like, sometimes you can't even have an opinion. Like, I put a couple of tweets out about the LAFC America game, and, you know, I consider myself to, you know, be neutral, and, you know, and I was getting attacked. I was getting attacked. So,
you had some keyboard warriors going after you on Twitter. You need me to come out there and flex my muscles for you, Tom? I'll defend you, man. What were they upset about? That's what I want to know. What were they upset about?
With Edward Apuesta's red card when he got sent off.
Yeah, of course.
I put a tweet out saying that Ochoa baited him, basically. He took the bait. I basically put he took the bait. And then everyone was going crazy. But my point was, he shouldn't have motioned... Ochoa went there to wind him up, to try and get any kind of reaction. And at the end of the day, he did move towards him. I'm not saying that deserved a red card, because for me, it wasn't a red card. But at the same time, you're giving the referee a decision to make. And that was my kind of take on it. I think if you're a youth coach, one of the things you tell a young player is that in the face of provocation, no matter how bad it is, don't react. You know what I mean? I think that. So that's what I was getting... I've got MLS fans that weren't happy with me, but I tell you what, Ben, this is the thing as well, when we talk about the MLS Liga MX rivalry, those in charge of the league, when we see kind of just the waves of passion, of intensity that accompanies kind of this tournament and these big games, they're licking the lips. This is what is going to drive any kind of future MLS Liga MX partnership or wherever this thing is going to go. You know, this is at the heart of it, that kind of intensity that people really, really do feel it. In some ways it's good. You know, it's good to see people showing absolute genuine interest in it as well.
Now, I would say you have to give LA the win in the category of emotional control on this night.
Yeah.
And then I want to take you to this. We're talking to Tom Marshall. Are Mexican fans mad that Carlos Vela is in Major League Soccer with LAFC, essentially with the enemy's league?
I'm not trying to use the word mad. I think what I'd say with Vela is, I don't know, I think because he's been there like a few years now, I think, you know, everybody knows Vela, everybody knows all about his history. The thing with Vela is, and it goes back to the national team, Vela's never going to have that kind of image that other, you know, Mexican players that have been anywhere near as good as him, to be honest, have got. You know, Vela didn't play for the Mexican national team in 2014 at the World Cup. He didn't want to play. He had his reasons. You know, after the 2018 World Cup, he again said he didn't want to play. Again, I'm not criticizing him on a personal level, but if you're a Mexico fan, you know, or you're a fan of any nation, if a player who's obviously a very, very good player that can help the national team doesn't want to play for that national team, there's always going to be a certain amount of fans that just can't understand it. There's so many people out there who would absolutely love to put on the Mexico shirt and would do absolutely anything to just play 5 minutes for the Mexican national team. And so obviously with Vela, it does sit uneasy, and obviously you feed the kind of Mexican media into that, and you know, and it is a machine.
Wasn't the story about Vela was the fact that the Mexican Federation threw him under the bus a little bit in an incident that occurred? And didn't people realize that? That maybe that's the reason why he decided not to play for the Mexican national team?
Yeah, I mean, that story was definitely out there. I would say from Vela's point as well, he never said. And I think that's harmed him because he's never come out and said, this is what happened, this is why I made that decision. And especially about that incident, he's just never spoken about it. And so I don't think he's helped himself in terms of that. But again, it's his personal decision, and you've got to respect it as well. He doesn't like speaking to the media anyway.
He probably doesn't want to say anything about that incident, though, because if he's got to talk about the incident, he's got to talk about his teammates. And he's not going to do that. And that, to me, is pretty honorable, actually. Well, maybe in some ways it is, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, at the end of the day, you know, we can rationalize it, but at the end of the day, I think the average fan is always going to not understand that. And there's a lot of things that happen with the Mexican national team, and, you know, I've been around it for a lot of years, and you can understand the frustration of the players, you know, but there's not many that have refused it, you know. And I think it's still, I'm not saying every Mexico fan either, I just think there is certain elements of obviously the Mexican fan base which will be always have a kind of strange relationship with Carlos Vela, and just always having the back in the mind that when he was ripping up La Liga in 2014, he wasn't at the World Cup. You know, could he have been the difference maker against the Netherlands? You know, we'll never know.
True. Tom, I got to hit a break here because we got to pay some bills. Great stuff from you as always. Listen, I want to wish you the best over the holidays. With that newborn, and I want to thank you for all your great contributions to this show. I know my listeners love hearing when Tom Marshall's going to be on the show.
No, thanks a lot, Glenn, for the invite, and yes, happy holidays to you and your family and all the listeners over there in Texas. Hopefully, I'll be up there in the new year, not too distant future, eating some of that good barbecue.
Hey, we got that. We can hook you up with that. We got a lot of good food here. We'll hook you up with some barbecue, Tom, and we would love to have you back in Houston. All right. Have a good night, Tom.
Thanks, Ken.
Thank you. That's the wonderful Tom Marshall, just a wonderful writer. He's up on everything when it comes to Mexican football. We'll take a break here. Break is brought to you by John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. We thank John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, for everything they do for us. Also, hey, real estate agents, are you tired of paying commission splits to your broker? NB Elite Realty and Nebo Bandovich. You'll get 100% of your hard-earned commission at closing. They offer low transaction fees, free investment training, exceptional support, no hidden fees. Website, nbelitereality.com. Call 844-444-NBER for more information on how to join the winning team. Don't wait. Start your journey to financial freedom today. nbelitereality.com. We'll take it a break with Thin Lizzy.
ESPN 97.5. 5.
Happy holidays, Santa Lance here. Our friends at Gulf Coast Chevrolet Buick GMC in Angleton have some tremendous specials on brand new trucks and SUVs. In fact, GMC is celebrating with employee pricing for everyone. How about a 2021 GMC Sierra 1500 truck with an employee pricing discount plus another $2,750 purchase allowance? Wow. All you have to do to get started is go to the website lancezcars.com. GMC. We are professional grade.
Hey, everybody. John Granato here with my friend Mark Klein from Klein's Fine Jewelers. We've been doing this forever. This holiday season, the only place to shop for your jewelry is at Klein's Fine Jewelers. And how about going online at KleinsJewelry.com? You've got great prices, Mark.
Oh, we do. And we have online shopping with free shipping, John. So anything you want in jewelry, whether it's diamond earrings, diamond pendants, diamond bracelets, we also have an online site for loose diamonds. You can punch in what you want, and boom, there's the prices right there. So anything you want in jewelry, give us a call at 832-316-1388. That's 832-316-1388. Check out KleinsJewelry.com. You can buy online, and it'll be shipped to you free.
There are 190,000 diamonds on Mark's website, so the prices are unbelievable. The selection is unbelievable. If you want to shop online or if you want to go to the store, 5868 Westheimer, he is a manufacturer in a retail store. You're going to get the best prices on holiday diamonds this holiday at Klein's Jewelry.
Hey, soccer fans, a moment here for our presenting sponsor, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Now, John and his firm are personal injury attorneys. They're going to bring you a personalized approach. It's DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. Now, they're bilingual. You might get in a car accident, motorcycle, industrial, construction, plant, refinery, 18-wheeler. The Daspit Law Firm has you covered and will work for you 24-7, nights and weekends. Get the representation you need at the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Proud sponsor of Soccer Matters.
Get to Macy's last-minute gift sale and take an extra 20% off amazing gifts for everyone on your list with your coupon or Macy's card. That's on top of already great savings in-store and online. Plus, shop extended store hours through Wednesday and get contact-free curbside pickup or pickup in-store. And now's the time to spend your Macy's money. Use it on anything, no merchandise exclusions. There's still time to get a great gift today at Macy's. Savings off sale and clearance prices, exclusions apply. Details at Macy's.com/Macy's Money.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. Dealing with battery problems? We can help you out and get you ready for the colder weather ahead. Let's start with a free battery test. If you just need a free charge, we can help with that too. And if it's time for a new battery, we've got replacement batteries that fit your needs, starting at just $79.99. That's what makes us America's number one battery destination. Claim based on data from the NPD Group 2019.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Efforts from Leverkusen to take all 3 points, but they need to be careful not to let Bayern in, not to let Lewandowski have a shot, and Lewandowski score and break Leverkusen's hearts. They did it to themselves. They let him in, and they have been severely punished by the goal scorer extraordinaire, Robert Lewandowski.
You got to throw me down the keys. That's a great line in this song. Can't you hear me knocking? Throw me down the keys. Lewandowski. Unbelievable. All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here, holiday edition. A big thank you to everybody who has tuned in throughout the year and has pumped in for all the podcasts as well. Great podcast numbers, so we thank you for that. You know, this show has grown because of all of you out there, so I hope all of you soccer fans out there not only keep pushing me to bring you better shows or differing content that you want with different guests and all. I would love more of that from our great listenership. But I would also say that I'm hoping that you spread the word about this show. This show has been a labor of love for 17, 18 years, started on public radio, got a great partner with ESPN here in Houston, and you know, we want to just keep this rolling. Again, Messi breaking Pelé's one club scoring record today, getting his 644th. And we go to the phone lines to Miguel now. Miguel, what's on your mind tonight?
Hey, Glenn, how's it going? A big night also for Monterrey fans over here. With Tigres playing tonight, you know how last time they played against Monterrey in the final, they said that the tournament is not worthy. The tournament's not good enough. They don't see it as a real tournament. So they're back in the final. So today, if they win, they have to recognize that the tournament's important because they're going to celebrate. And if they lose, they become a joke in Mexico because they lose to an MLS team. So today's a win-win for us Rayados fans.
I knew you were going to probably say it, but if you didn't, I was going to have to out you, Miguel, because I know how big of a Rayados fan that you are and all the contributions that you've made in the soccer community down here. So you've got a rooting interest tonight, and that is for Tigres to lose.
Actually, I would rather for them to win tonight, and the reason is because if they win, then they have to recognize that championship that we won in CONCACAF. Mm-hmm. Because they only recognize the final that they won in Liga MX against Rayados, but they don't recognize the other one because they don't recognize the tournament. So if they win and they celebrate, then that's a win for us as well.
That's called selective recognition, Miguel.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's just the way it is.
It's very, very selective.
For Monterrey fans.
Yeah, we're going to see them putting a huge effort in today. We know that. I think this is a big game. I think there's a tremendous upside for Major League Soccer. To give me your take from the Major League Soccer standpoint of what this could mean tonight if, in fact, MLS LAFC beats a fourth straight Mexican team.
Well, first of all, there's a lot of good feedback from Mexico fans. People that didn't know anything about the league are now watching the league. They know what MLS has. They are actually looking at other players besides Bella, because now Liga MX is bringing players from the MLS into their league. So they're starting to watch these games, and they're like, wait, LAFC beat Leon, they beat Cruz Azul, they beat America.
Yeah.
They got good players. It's not just Bella. I mean, Bella is a game changer, but there's other players, and now they're looking at them. So it's
no
a big
question.
Deal tonight's game.
Well, we've always said on this show, one way to get respect is win. And that's what both these teams will be out for tonight, LAFC and Tigres. Miguel, thanks for coming on tonight. Thank you very, very much. Best to you over the holidays. We're going to take a break now because I'm hearing the music. Thank you for coming on.
All right. Thank you, Glenn.
All right. We're going to take you to break. Another version of the little drummer boy, Joan Jett, was in the band The Runaways as a teenager. So here we go. We'll take a break here, all brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Show's going to roll on. We've got a couple of great interviews coming up, including John Arnold, also John Thorington, the GM of LAFC, and the new Dynamo signing, Fafa Pico, will join us as well.
ESPN 97.5.